On this week's edition of Cross Examine, we will be talking about the 1995 revision of the Cuban Adjustment Act of 1966, in which over 50,000 Cubans are coming into the United States, as well as the continual white genocide of London, England, in which London no longer reflects its original people. Welcome, my friends, to another episode of Cross Examine. I am your host, Attorney Jason Robb, and we are coming from KKK Radio Studios in the lovely Harrison, Arkansas, in the Ozark Mountains. On this week's edition of Cross Examine, we are going to be talking about various topics. But the main topic we are going to be talking about is the little-known act. It's called the 1995 revision of the Cuban Adjustment Act of 1966. And what this act is it is an act that has allowed over 50,000 Cubans to come into the United States. Over 50,000 Cubans have been airlifted and busted into the U.S. From all over Central America over the last several months. And the reason that over 50,000 Cubans have been either airlifted or busted in the United States is because there's an anticipation that Washington, D.C. may soon stop the known migration policy called the wet foot, dry foot policy. Now, some of you may not be aware what the wet foot, dry foot policy is, but again, it comes from the 1995 revision of the Cuban Adjustment Act of 1966, which basically says that anyone who flees Cuba and enters in the United States would be granted permanent residence a year later. Now, 1995, the government agreed with Cuba that would stop admitting people intercepted in U.S. waters. And so since that time, Cuban invaders caught in the waters would just basically be turned around and would be sent back to the home of their country. And it would, if they were stopping between the two countries, between Cuba and the United States, most notably Florida, they would be turn around. Now, however, and if an invader who just happens to make it to the shore, called dry feet, gets a chance to remain in the United States, and then later would be able to qualify for an expedited legal permanent residence status and eventually U.S. citizenship. Now, since that time, it really hasn't taken Cubans to really realize that there is a legal loophole in this new rule, and because all they have to do is simply enter the U.S. By Mexico, and if they enter through Mexico, which is again the dry feet, then they would be admitted to America. So remember, the wet feet, dry feet. If the wet feet, if they're caught in the ocean, that basically they turn them around and send them back. If they're caught on land, they get a stay. So of course Cubans are going to think, hey, I just got to get to Mexico and then I'll be able to get right into the United States and expedited to legal status and become citizenship, started just in over a year. Now it's because of this, of this fear that the United States is going to stop the Cubans from this policy, I should say, more than 40,000 Cubans have bought plane tickets or boat tickets to Central America, and most of them are actually landing in Ecuador, which offers free visa entries for Cubans. Now, from there, they'll move north to Nicaragua. And then this route, of course, was blocked in November which is an ally Cuba. So Nicaragua had stopped the migration into their country as requested by Cuba. So there, the Cubans basically found themselves trapped in countries such as Costa Rica or Panama. And so the Central American Integration System, which is the former economic and political organizations of Central America states, stepped in, and then they basically arranged flights for the invaders to El Salvador. And so from there, then they were bussed up through Guatemala, and then into Mexico, and then into the United States border, where all they have to do is present themselves, and then they immediately become parasites off the American taxpayer, because once you can show you're a Cuban, you're automatically allowed to come into the United States. And just to show you some statistics, Costa Rica, for example, had issued over 8,000 temporary transit visas to Cuban invaders between November 14th and December 18th alone. So this should be something that we really should be concerned about. According to KRGV television in Rio Grande, Texas, and there are still basically thousands of Cubans crossing the border every day in January of 2016. And reporting on January 26th from the Hidalgo International Bridge on the border, the KRGV report said that, quote, at least 7,000 Cuban refugees are expected to come to the border in the next coming days. Now, we hear about the so-called refugees fleeing and invading, and that's basically what they are. They're invading into Europe and Germany and all the other surrounding countries. But what about the United States? We sometimes don't realize that we have invaders coming into our country. We have so far 50,000 of these Cubans coming into our country. We don't think about that. And when they get here, they are allowed to come here. They're allowed to legally be here. If a Mexican just crosses the border, well, technically they're illegal, but are they really being apprehended and to be returned to their country? Of course not. We don't talk about the thousands of the Chinese and other non-white invaders coming in the United States. Whenever there's an attempt to change the racial and demographics of a country, that is going to cause problems. That is an intentional act to destroy a culture, to destroy a race. And what is that called? It's called genocide. Plain and simple. And so we sometimes, again, we don't think about that. We don't think about the thousands and thousands of Cubans that are coming into our country. And these are not people that share the same racial stock of Europeans that settled the United States. They don't share the same culture, the same standards, the same trait. They are going to bring their own culture. They are going to bring their own racial identity. And when that continues to happen, then our country is going to shift drastically. We already are getting reports just from the U.S. Census Bureau themselves that says by 2045, the United States will no longer be a white country. Now, my friends, I would propose that it's going to be happening sooner than that. It will happen a lot quicker than 2045 before the United States becomes a non-white country. And the reason you will see a drastic change even quicker is because of two reasons. One is we see a aging white population that is drastically dying off at an extraordinary rate, they are dying off. The second is the U.S. Census Bureau just recently has said that they are going to change the way they identify people. Historically, the U.S. Census Bureau would have Caucasians, Blacks, Asians, and when you look at Caucasians or whites, they didn't really dissect that even beyond that. But now they are going to make it easier. They're going to make it where individuals have more of an opportunity to actually mark their actual race. So you might have someone marking as a Mexican, an Indian, a Saudi Arabian, an Iranian, Iraq. All these people traditionally would be sometimes listed as white, but they will no longer be listed as white. They will be actually, accurately, I should say, be listed as their own race. And what we will see in the next U.S. Census Bureau, I believe, is that more people will be honestly checking the box of their actual race. And when we see that, we will actually get a more accurate racial makeup of the United States. And so this act, and I want to get back here to this act that we started with the Cuban Adjustment Act of 1966, which then was revised in 1995 under the wet foot, dry foot policy. That in itself is, again, something that most people are just not aware of. They're not aware of this massive invasion into the United States. And my friends, if you think we have problems now, just imagine what it's going to be like in 10, 15, 20 years from now when we see this non-white population continues to increase, when we see their children continue to have more children. The problems we see now is not going to compare to anything that we will see in 15, 20 years. And what we are going to see with this massive non-white invasion that is really bent on destroying our way of life, destroying our culture, destroying our heritage, destroying everything we love and dear. When we start seeing that, we will see what England, London, is actually facing now. And with that, I'm going to take a break, and we come back. We're going to then talk about London, and London no longer reflecting the historical London that we have been raised to know and love. But now London reflects a third world country. So stay tuned, and we will be right back after this station break.
Look around the world. Do you notice anything? White people are a global minority. Soon, white people will be the minority in historically white nations. Is it a coincidence, or is there white genocide in our future? What about your children or your grandchildren? Is this the end? Is this our fate? Think about it. This message brought to you by Christian Revival Classics and the Christian Revival Center.
As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, if properly used. Liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of our life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country. Personal liberty is looked upon as the crowning achievement of the people. It is a anything goes mentality. Excesses and fetishes of all sorts are applauded and promoted. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom, and that is why it is under attack. Learn more by listening to Tommy Freedom and the Freedom Forum right here.
Hello, this is Attorney Jason Robb. Have you ever thought of remembering the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan your will or trust? We are deeply appreciative of the help and support our friends have given to this important work over the years. The support towards this holy mission of bringing a message of hope and deliverance to our people must continue even after you are gone. Our race, faith, and nation are worth every sacrifice we can make. We must continue the struggle until America has been delivered from the vice of death. Our children are depending on it. Email me at jasonrobb@windstream.net and I will help you to continue your fight for our future upon your death. Welcome back to Cross Examine. This is your host, Attorney Jason Robb. And we have been discussing about the 1966 Cuban Adjustment Act, which was revised in 1995, which has so far allowed over 50,000 Cubans entering the United States in the last several months. And this is something you really are not hearing about because of the policy of the wet foot, dry foot migration policy, which basically states that if Cubans are caught out in the water on their boats, then they're to be turned back to go back to their homeland, back to Cuba. However, if they enter through land or they get to go on the shores of the United States somehow, then they get to stay here immediately, apply for an expedited visa to stay here, and their pathway to citizenship is basically guaranteed. And so we've been talking about that and how basically this is just an invasion in the United States. It's an invasion to change the racial makeup of the United States. The same thing that we see over in Europe, where there's been an estimated figure of about 1.1 million non-whites that have entered Germany and then from there have gone to other countries in Europe. And really, Europe is just, is invaded. I mean, there's an invasion going on in Europe and our hearts go out to them every day. But we need to remember the same thing is happening here in the United States. But same token, I want to talk about London. I want to talk about London now. Now, London is, of course, the capital of Britain. And so often when we think about London, we think about, you know, just how it's the ideal epic of white Europeans. We just think of London with the, you know, with the Westminster Abbey and King and Queen and just how it's just a beautiful place. But London no longer reflects the people, the white people that founded that country thousands of years ago. London has changed almost overnight. It has rapidly has just crashed into a nightmare, and it's just filled with third world criminals, Turkish gangsters, African crime gangs, gypsy vagrants, Vietnamese and Caribbean drug dealers. And that is just name a few. And the decline of the white English people, the white speaking people, have changed so drastically that even the news media establishment, such as the Daily Mail, have even taken note of this. And what they have released, they released a article, or a book, I should say, that is called This is London, Life and Death in the World City. And it's written by journalist Ben Judah, who vividly describes the nightmares of third world London. Now, according to the Daily Mail review of this book, it states, quote, more than half of Londoners are now not ethnically British. He says, I was born in London, but I no longer recognize this city. I don't know if I love the new London or it frightens me. A city where at least 55% of people are not white British. nearly 40% were born abroad, and hundreds of thousands are living illegally in the shadows. Now, in order for him to write his book, Judah had basically immersed himself in the migrant world, and this is according to the Daily Mail that wrote the review on it. And he shows how the offer of the free health care, the free housing, the free schooling, the countless welfare benefits makes up London a magnet for the third world. Now, does that sound similar and familiar here in the United States, where we have public housing, we have free health care, we have food stamps? Basically, the government's going to take care of you. Now, this is what he writes in. He continues on. He says, quote, "In South London, Somali gangs terrorize the estates, and Turkish gangs control North London. Kurds and Albanians launder their money through the car washes in Tottenham and Kilburn. Vietnamese gangs grow and distribute 2/3 of the strong cannabis on the capital streets. Judah encountered a Grenadian, now a successful cocaine dealer, who recalled moving to the White City estate in West London with his mother when he was 12 years old. And then he goes on to say that the hundreds of thousands of illegal immigrants are, as the book reveals, worse off because they are trapped into debt by the people smugglers who gave them fake IDs and smuggled them into Britain. Now, this is according to this book review. But it goes on to state about specifically the racial makeup of London. It says the Daily Mail goes on to detail how the whites in London have been ethnically cleansed from the city. And it goes on, quote, "In this new London, increasingly there is one nationality significant for its absence, white, British born. Nearly all the migrants commented on this phenomenon. Ben Judah meets a Pole who works as a register recording births and deaths in Catford Bridge, who says she worked in a position that's perfect to spot the ethnic changes. She describes a new London where 57% of births are to migrant mothers. But when she enters the names of the recent death, there are nearly all of them are old white British. Another migrant comments, quote, the English are dying. They are declining fast. He recalls in the street markets, there used to be old English voices shouting out, advertising their wares in the Cockney accent, but they've gone now. Now, between 1971 and 2011, the white British share of London's population slumped from 86% to 45%. The famous East London Cockney accent is already extinct, wiped out by third world immigration. So the reality is that the third world immigration in London is really the fate of all European nations if they don't halt and reverse this non-white third world flood. Now, some of you may out there, if this is first time hearing this, maybe saying, well, what's so concerned about this? I mean, so what? Well, we as a people, I don't care if you're an English person, you're a German, you're a French, Polish, we as white Europeans, and America was founded by white Europeans, we as white people have a right to exist. We have a right to maintain our culture. And we see places like London where the accent of the British accent just no longer exists anymore. It is dying out. It's because the white people is dying out. And we see the same trend in London, England, as we see here in the United States. The white population, the deaths of the population in the United States is mainly white people, mainly your baby boomer generation. But the births are astronomically your non-white population, your Mexicans, your Chinese, your blacks, your Cubans. It does not matter, but what is different, what is absent, it's your white population. Your white population is not growing. And my friends, that is something that we need to be concerned about. We as white people have a right to exist. We have a right to pass this on to our future generation. It has nothing to do with being hatred towards another race or another culture. We simply want to maintain our culture. We want to maintain our blood. We believe we come from a beautiful people, a beautiful ancestry, a beautiful race. And when you have certain individuals in the government that is intentionally trying to destroy your people, that is genocide, my friends. When you have people trying to destroy your culture, that is genocide. When you have people trying to destroy your ability to pass on your race, your blood, your way of life to a future generation, to your people, that is genocide. And that is what is happening today, my friends. We see more and more our way of life, our Christian society being destroyed, being terminated, and being extinguished because of the fact that we no longer are wanting, we no longer have the desire to maintain our race and our culture. But my friends, don't be despair. Things are turning around. We are starting to see people waking up. We are starting seeing the cold water being thrown in our face, and people are starting to realize that there is this assault upon them. People are starting to realize that their culture, their way of life is literally getting ready to be destroyed. And they are starting to wake up. They are wanting to see this change. Why do we see such a phenomenon with Rush, or not Rush, with Donald Trump? It's because Donald Trump is saying the exact same things that the average white person out there is saying. They are concerned about the way of life of America. They see the destruction of their country. They see the destruction of their Christian civilization. They see the destruction of their religion. They see what is happening. And Rush, not Rush Limbaugh, excuse my friends, Donald Trump is echoing the exact same thing that everyone else is saying. And my friends, more than ever, we need to be courageous in these dark hours. We need to be faithful. We need to be committed. And so, before I leave you, I want to invite everyone that's listening out here to attend the Faith and Freedom Conference that's happening on April 29th, 30th, and May 1st. Faith and Freedom Conference is held at the Christian Revival Center outside of Harrison, Arkansas, which is located about 20 miles south of Branson, Missouri. It is a three-day weekend. It is family-oriented. Bring your spouse, bring your children. This is the time that we as white people need to stick together, need to come together and remain faithful in our race, in our faith, in our homeland. You can write to the national office at P.O. Box 2222, Harrison, Arkansas 72601, or you can call at 870-427-3414, or email at revival@southshore.com, and we can give you more information about the Faith and Freedom Conference. Or you can go to the KKK.com, and you can get more information about Faith and Freedom Conference. It is going to be a great time. And remember, my friends, we need to stick together. We are at perilous times, and our children are going to suffer unless we stand up and say, no longer are we going to be genocide out. That is all we have this week. I hope you've enjoyed this episode of Cross Examine, and I will see you next week. And remember, my friends, you have the right to exist.